item, we will call this meeting to order for July 23rd. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Please be with our residents. Please be with those who have lost loved ones. Please heal those that are sick. Please be with our military. And please watch over our employees. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The City of Columbia is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Langdon?
Here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge? She did let us know she would not be able to attend. Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens' participation. We have 4 individuals this evening signed up. The first one we have is BJ Voigt, and the subject is general. Are we disinfected at the podium? You good to go? All right. Go for it.
Good evening, council and everybody. My name is BJ Voigt, and I live at 3634 Kirby Drive. And yes, I have been here for 58 years, and I just have to keep saying that because someone told me not to. I just want to thank all the volunteers that showed up Saturday, the fire chief, the city staff, Lisa and her son, the volunteers that I got, all the police that showed up, and we did have your son, I think, was 15, 16, and the oldest gentleman that we had that volunteered was 83 years old, and he's lived here over 50-something years. So just shows that anybody can get out and volunteer if they want to. And I just want to thank everybody that did show up, and we had a good meal, and I just want to say thanks. And look forward to the next one that maybe we can all get together, and I will actually help the Public Works guys paint the one down there. Thank y'all.
Thank you, BJ, and thank you for spearheading that. All right, the next one is Roger Romans regarding the amended city budget.
My name is Roger Romans, residing at 4511 Henneke. I'm speaking in reference to last council meeting's amended budget. At the last council meeting, this council amended the general and water fund budget. It was item 8L, and dispensed with the second reading, which is required. This action is troubling as it does not afford the general public the opportunity for input or questions. The city attorney has previously advised council to avoid dispensing with second readings except for extreme emergencies. On the budget amendment of the fund budget, a $10,000 of taxpayers' money was approved for the straightening of a fence around the water tower. Some valid questions for this expenditure should have been raised. Does Public Works have the equipment and skills to straighten this fence? Is $10,000 a bit pricey for approval to straighten a fence? Who are the bids going out to for this contract? Instead, the question that was asked by council is if this money was in the budget. Staff replied, barely. The motion was made. It was passed unanimously, and the second reading was dispensed with, thus entering a justification in the books accounting for the expenditure of $10,000. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. I don't know how fiscally responsible this is, but there does need to be some further questions on this authorized expenditure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next one is Chris Garza at 4807 Michael Collins on the public hearing. Do you want to wait to the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll come back to you at the public hearing. Next one is Mike Martin regarding council's attention.
Mayor, council, a lot of residents have brought this to my attention. You know, I listen to a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people, and look at you right now, is what I'm talking about. Nobody looks up to pay any attention to what these people up here are saying. Earlier, there was two council people, gave them the time of day, gave them the recognition. You're our city leaders. You need to pay attention to what these people are saying. Not look down, diddling like Mr. Pierce is doing right now. You know, that's wrong. These people are not here to waste your time. You're not here to waste their time. They're here to address situations. And we have nobody paying attention to them. Why are y'all there? Won't you resign your seats immediately if you're not gonna do nothing? I just see it every meeting, and that's why nobody wants to come. Y'all don't listen to them, no action gets done. And it's time for a change. And Mayor, you did put it out there, time for a change. It's gonna happen. People are tired of what's going on. That's all I gotta say, thank you.
Well, I would like to respond to that. I actually take notes and I can't,
There was one more.
Okay, I'm just letting you know that doodling and stuff, I actually take notes and I can't do that not looking at people, or actually looking at people.
Big job.
And again, everybody else up here is volunteers and that's fine. So I'm glad that there are people running for office. But I do take offense to that, just generalization. I'm just saying, it's generalization, so. All right, that concludes citizens' participation. We will come back to the public hearing. Or to you, Chris, during the public hearing. All right, it is. On item 7A, the public hearing, Crime Control Prevention District, fiscal year 2020.
Mayor, if we can do the minutes first.
Sorry, yes,
no
we
problem.
Can. Yep, Carlin. Jerry, are you still there? Okay. Item 6A, the consideration of an action on minutes, special meeting workshop of July 9th, 2020. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the minutes.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Second.
Sorry, by Councilmember Apodaca.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the special meeting workshop meeting minutes of July 9th. Is there any discussion? Everyone, please raise your right hand. All in favor?
Abstain.
You have that, Patty? Jerry, do you want to? Okay. Have Jerry? Okay. All right. Item 6B, the regular meeting minutes of July 9th, 2020. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the regular meeting minutes of July 9th. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Jerry, what say you about those?
Abstain, because I wasn't there.
Okay. Did you get that one?
Yes.
All right, now, 7A, public hearing for Crime Control Prevention District fiscal year 2020-2021 budget. I will close our regular meeting at 19:10 and open our public hearing.
Good afternoon, Council. I just want to speak on the approving of the budget for the crime prevention. Now, I went to these meetings, and a lot of what they were trying to approve was for trucks that we don't have quite yet. And the idea of it is it if we don't get these trucks, then we're approving for things that may not ever come. I mean, we're basically approving a budget for a wish list. And I think that before we decide to approve this budget, that what we ought to do is consider maybe getting the items first that approving this budget would help. So maybe even taking out that line item or figuring out a way that it just doesn't go towards something that we may not ever receive. So that's all I have to say. I just wanted to make sure that you guys understood basically what we're trying to approve with this budget. So thank you.
Since this is not 3 minutes, sir.
Wait, hold on.
What's up?
What is? This is the open thing. He's finished, isn't he?
We don't go back and forth. We don't go back and forth. This is a public hearing.
Since we don't understand how the process works, it's exactly what's going to happen, sir, so pay attention.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak at the public hearing? Although you've stated your name before, if you can just state your name again.
My name is Roger Romans. I also attended the 23 June budget proposal that Kirby Crime Prevention District had. My concern with the budget that they're proposing, there's two items there, $45,000 and $17,000, for a total of $62,000 of capital outlay. That accounts for 100% of the revenue income. All the other expenditures are coming out of that money which they have in the bank. On May 28th, this council amended the budget for the Kirby Crime Prevention District. That is not reflected on the information that I'd received today from City Hall. I don't know if you have the same information, but mine starts with a starting balance of $56,918. Is that the information that council has?
Yes, it is. It's what they have. And the reason, if I may, amendment is not reflected is because the Crime Control District reviewed this proposed budget, and that is what they recommended for approval. So that is what we're having the same public hearing and discussion on council with. We do recognize there was an amendment since that time that they voted, but because this is what was, again, discussed, this is what we have to focus on tonight.
Okay, what council did approve was a $33,000 expenditure from the Kirby Crime Control or Crime Prevention District for a 2016 Ford Explorer. If you look at the figures you have right now, with a $33,000 expenditure, you would actually be a $5,000 deficit at the end of the year with what is being presented to council right now. As this was approved by council 2 months ago, I'd like to know why accurate information couldn't have been adjusted in the Crime Control District and accurate information provided to council so that when you're reflecting upon the budget that you're looking to approve tonight, you would have good numbers. Because if you approve what they're submitting, you're authorizing them to go into a $5,000 deficit. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on the public hearing for the Crime Control? You don't have to have signed up, so anybody that wants to say anything. Okay. We will close the public hearing at 7:15 and reconvene our regular meeting. Right, we will move to item 8, presentation, COVID-19 Emergency Action Plan Update.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. We'll just give it a few moments to get the presentation up. Good evening. This is the update for the COVID-19 pandemic. For the state of Texas, there are confirmed 351,618 cases. That is an increase of 131,054 cases from 2 weeks ago. Recovered estimates are 195,315, with an increase of 82,031. Total death rate for the state of Texas is 4,348, with an increase of 1,535. Currently for Bexar County, there are reported of 34,633 cases. There are 29,492 confirmed, with a probable of 5,141 cases. That is an increase of 16,954. They've taken out of the recovery rate for Bexar County as reporting factors. The death rate currently for Bexar County is 298, which is an increase of 133. Bexar County is currently the third highest in the state of Texas with COVID-19 cases. The 78219 zip code is still listed, or is listed as 151 to 310 cases that are confirmed by the San Antonio Metro Health District. Kirby, at this time, does have 28 confirmed cases with one death. And on a note of that 28, the last notified case that we were notified about was in May. So my understanding is they have stopped the notification process. So we're not gonna get any notification of new cases coming in. I have told the fire department, as well as staff here, treat as if everybody is COVID-19. Our call volume for the EMS side has not changed. We are still steady with responses and transports. With possible COVID-19 responses, the last possible COVID response and transport of a person with symptoms of COVID-19 was July the 4th. The first declaration for a public health emergency went into effect on the 13th of March of 2020 for the city of Kirby. And we are currently still on the 7th declaration of public health emergency that went into effect on the 25th of June. There are some severe risk factors with COVID. Low risk is virtual only activities, events, or gatherings. Of course, with the increase of gathering sizes outside of community involvement increases your risk to more risk, higher risk, and the highest risk possible. CDC still has no work restrictions on essential personnel after a potential exposure. It is recommended to follow all infection control prevention policies, control practices, including wearing a face mask for the source control while at work, monitor for symptoms as well as fever, report any necessary symptoms or fever to the supervisor as necessary. Currently, all bars are currently closed. Restaurants are still at 50% capacity, which has not changed in the last 2 weeks. It is still encouraged to wash hands with soap and water for 20 seconds. If you're not able to use soap and water, hand sanitizer with 60% alcohol is as good for backup. Cover coughs, sneezes with a tissue, and throw that tissue away. Avoid touching your face with unwashed hands. Disinfect surfaces often, and avoid close contact with anybody. If you're not able to avoid that close contact, make sure you wear a mask. And that's the presentation. Questions?
No, I did have another correspondence with Dr. Kurian, and she again said that they were trying to work on something to give us an idea of what cases are here in Kirby, but to your point, just to treat everybody, every call, including our law enforcement as well, just to treat every call that it is a COVID call, or that everybody you come in contact may be asymptomatic if they're not showing symptoms, so.
Yes, ma'am. I can tell you, like the fire staff, to help conserve PPE, we are sending one individual in full gown, mask, gloves, goggles. They let everybody else know whether they need to be in full PPE or if they can do minimum, which is mask, goggles, and gloves, to kind of conserve some of the PPE that we have.
And we, I don't know if you were on the call yesterday. Were you on the White House? So there was a...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so there was a call yesterday with the White House staff. Dr. Birx was on there, and basically it's more of the same that's being said with all of the information, is that Texas was a hot spot. They were working on other places, trying to zone in on the valley at this point in Texas. But again, it's with all the testing and stuff, there's going to be an increase in cases. But again, they were working on schools. There had the secretary, it wasn't DeVos, it was her assistant or her person, talked about the schools, that they're trying to make sure that Texas can go to school safely. They were talking about additional stimulus money, again, to try to help the economy. So there wasn't a lot of new information that came out of that other than what was being said already. So I wasn't able to take anything new out of that.
No, ma'am, neither was I.
Yeah. Other than to treat everybody like.
And I can tell you today, the state of Texas had a EMS division call, or a state call, if you will. And they advised the same thing, that everybody needs to be treating every individual as if they have COVID, or every response has COVID.
Yeah, and I think that's what DSHS is recommending as well. In
yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 9A, discussion and possible action to consider. Discussion and possible action to consider transferring ownership of Explorer Street and Telstar Drive to Springfield Manor Apartments Management Company. Monique, do you want to take this one?
Happy to start with some history for that, and then okay. We have Mr. Shackelford actually here representing the apartment management company, okay, in case there are questions. But you have a copy of a request that came in earlier in the month, but actually we've had some discussions in past years about this area. Telstar and Explorer are really positioned directly within the complex of Springfield Manor Apartments, and in some prior years we've been contacted about what the city's intent was to totally reconstruct that area, because it is in pretty bad condition. But you know, as we know, we're following our street maintenance assessment plan. We are, you know, limited in our ability to do some of these major street reconstructions because of funding. And so this most recent request was for us to consider two options. A, to either have the city of Kirby completely rehab the streets of Explorer and Telstar, or B, if the funding isn't available for rehab of the two streets, then to consider transferring over full ownership of those two streets at zero cost, due to the amount of work needed on the streets, over to the apartment complex management company. So in some discussions with our city attorney, it was reminded that we're not able to give away city-owned property, that it would have to be sold at fair market value. We have Mr. Paul Fletcher here on behalf of our city attorney, Mark Schnall, tonight to kind of speak to that in more detail. But from a staff standpoint, we would recommend maybe looking at an option of allowing them to take it over, only because we realize that we are limited in our ability to maintain it. However, we also have to keep in mind that if we needed to you know, get in there for any utility purposes, that would be something we would have no option but to tear that up, because we would still own the utilities, unless, you know, we're going to look at some different agreement, and I don't even know if that's an option. So that's just kind of preliminary. I don't know if you want to go to the apartment complex next or if you want to have our city attorney speak next.
Well, I did want to add to just because in our street assessment in July 2019, Explorer was rated 49. And then Telstar was rated 75. So on the worst, five being the worst and one being best, Explorer was actually rated at a 3.04 and Telstar was rated 75 at a 2.69. So if we're going in just for comparison's sake, if we're actually going in what streets are next to be fixed or looked at if we can, as the budget allows, Explorer and Telstar are two streets that are way down on the list, even though they're in not the greatest condition. So I just wanted everybody,
right,
you know,
and
to
I,
know
and
that.
I did share that with the apartment complex owners,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so, and that street assessment, just for everybody to know, is on our website, thekirbytexas.org, under public notices. So that street assessment is there for anyone to see. But I just want to make sure everybody knew where those streets fell. Mr. Shackelford, you're more than welcome to.
My name is Michael Shackelford with Alamo Community Group. I'm not with the management side. We contract that out. I'm with the actual ownership. We own this property, have owned it for many years. As you may know, this is a affordable housing facility. It's not public housing. We provide housing for folks that are 30% of area median income all the way to 80%. So it's folks that are $7.25 to about $15 an hour. Just so you're aware, for our purposes, we did an assessment. We've hired two different contractors to do a full assessment on the property. And they actually both differ from what y'all's PCI rating is. And they're actually saying it's poor. And the descriptive words or adjectives that they use is, this is like driving on the moon. You will lose an axle. It is really bad. This is a public, it's public right of way, it's public street. They said it's really bad. Something needs to happen. And we've communicated this to the city manager many times, and we've actually asked the Bexar County for funding. They said, go back to the city. And so our solution was, why don't we just go ahead and take ownership? We'll take ownership if the city of Kirby would give it to us at no cost, considering the cost to rehab the roads. And the two estimates that we've received is $177,000 to $250,000, two different contractors. And we did receive the email from Ms. Vernon today stating that the city attorney's office said they could not transfer over the property at no cost. And what other municipalities have done is they've done a long-term lease for like 70 years for like a dollar, and then we would take ownership of the of the roads with the long-term lease. We would maintain it, rehab it, do whatever needs to be done, and then the municipality could then have access to the right-of-way, make any utility improvements if needed. So that would be our solution. Thank you.
Go ahead, yes, Paul. I wasn't sure if you were gonna speak from there or.
We just heard about the long-term lease as an option, so we'd like the opportunity to look at that. Generally speaking, property can be sold for fair market value. The other option is to get an appraisal, determine what the value of that street is, and if it's a nominal value, then the city would ask for a nominal amount. But we'd need to explore the lease option to see if that would be consistent with the state law. Otherwise, an appraisal would probably be in order.
And do you want to actually speak? I mean, we have it in front of us, but do you want to actually speak about the statute that says that the municipalities can't give away property?
Constitutionally, y'all can't give away property.
Right.
It's the city's property. You're supposed to use it for the public good. Generally speaking, as a adjacent landowner, they do have an option to purchase it under state law. With regard to the utilities, even if the property was sold or with a lease, you could reserve the right to go into the street and repair, fix, exchange, take out, deal with whatever utilities you have in that street. So those, that potential would not go away.
Well, would a lease be an option?
I would need to look at that. Like I said, this is the first time we heard about that as it was presented here.
Okay.
But the city can, generally speaking, lease city property. Also, probably need to look at the proposal of the lease, whether it's exclusive or non-exclusive, and things of that nature. So if there's any other written terms or provisions, we'd just try to get that information so we could evaluate it.
I know the city of San Antonio, when I was with them, had, for instance, in the governor's old palace down there, they had leased to a restaurant that was in the building. So I know you can lease it. I know because we ate there every day almost, and it was in San Antonio owns the building and all the property.
Yeah, I would just want to look at the leasing right of way. And again, it's the scope of the lease. If it's, for example, right of way is leased. I think people have down in San Antonio, some of the restaurants
Correct.
Use the sidewalk and the curb.
Yes.
So I certainly know it's feasible. Whether or not that they're asking for an exclusive lease to close the road or that it remains open, I think that's going to be of importance. Significantly, what's the value of that lease? And it may still come back to a fair market value issue. So that's really the one issue I want to pin down before we get to it.
But it is an option.
The lease on the Riverwalk and sidewalks also come down to fair market value.
Disinfect each time somebody changes hands. All right, now there's a cloud of disinfectant. You can talk now.
And
yes, exactly. It's been blessed.
Just to speak on behalf of our organization and in terms of a lease, we would not explore or we would not want to pursue a lease that exceeds more than a dollar. And the reason why is we will go ahead and improve that. You can have a lease for X amount of years as long as it serves a public good. And this will serve as a public good because it is a public street and an organization will then improve that. And therefore it does serve a public good. And that's why you can do a long-term lease for a dollar or whatever. However, if it exceeds more than that, our organization will not bear it. We don't want to pursue that because of the amount of improvements this road needs. And it's the starting price is $177,000. That's a huge cost for us to bear. And if we don't take it, then it falls upon the city to improve it. And we have several businesses that said it is in poor condition. It is not in fair condition. Thank you.
But you would have no reason to close it.
We would not close it. It would still be an open road as is.
You're getting good at that, you know?
And this doesn't have to be, obviously, the lawyers have information that
need to explore.
And then of course Mr. Shackelford as well between the two of them. So, but are there any other questions regarding this piece of it? I mean, because clearly if there's any utilities underneath and all of those, you know, if this, I don't know where the sewers and the different places are that run through that, but obviously that's something that would have to be looked at as well. So and then predominantly that street, because of, in case nobody's knows where it is, under the Springfield Manor apartments, those streets are not generally public anyway. Usually the ones that are traveling actually live there or are visiting residents of that establishment of that community. It's not a street that you would go to get anywhere except to there. So it's not a high traveled street for anyone not there.
And one thing I would make sure of, though, now if we leased it, though, would we still have the rights as a dedicated street to the law enforcement on it and the traffic control devices like stop sign? You'll see, I know there's one. Let's see, one, two. I think there's two stop signs involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that it's a big deal, but it's just something, you know, that would like to get that ironed out, too, to address that, please.
Any questions on that? All right. When can we, I mean, obviously it's not something that I'm sure that the they want to wait on. So is that something, Mr. Fletcher, that I don't want to put you on the spot, but how long is it going to take you to look into that?
The research.
We can get back to probably early next week. Okay,
so if we can have that in the first meeting in August.
August, yeah. Give you a little cushion.
I mean, obviously the conversations between the two of you can happen without the council piece of it, so that it's a full system and that we have all the information when it comes to council. But if we can just get that on the first agenda in August. Thank you very much for being here. All right, we will move to item 9B, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2020-880, an ordinance adding section 36.09 to chapter 36 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, establishing a failure to appear offense, setting out a defense to said offense, and authorizing the judge of the municipal court to assess a failure to appear fee, and adding section 36.10 to chapter 36 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, providing that a failure to appear fee shall not to exceed $500. This would be the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Do I have to read all of it?
Just the ordinance number.
Motion we accept ordinance number 02020-880, an ordinance adding section 36.09 to chapter 36 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept ordinance number O-2020-880, an ordinance adding section 36.09 to chapter 36 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, establishing a failure to appear offense, setting out a defense to said offense, and authorizing the judge of the municipal court to assess a failure to appear fee, and adding section 36.10 to chapter 36 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, Texas, providing that a failure to appear fee shall not to exceed $500. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Akinaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2020-880 passes for the second reading. We're going to, I'm going to deviate and we'll come back to 9C. I'm going to deviate to 9D, update discussion and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project. Mr. Ives.
Yes, ma'am. How are you all this evening?
Good, thank you.
Good. You all, I believe, have a memo from SAC San Antonio Constructors in front of you.
The one that starts once upon a time?
I didn't hear that, sir.
The one that starts once upon a time?
Yes, sir. That's not quite how I read it, but I guess I don't spell it well.
The one that said there were 3 weeks worth
yes,
of
sir.
Rain?
Yes, sir. So it starts with, as you are aware, since the last schedule update. So you all have that, yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you all are pretty much aware of what they're asking. And you all, I'm pretty sure, are extremely well aware of where they currently are in their project.
If I live with it, yes.
Okay, yes, sir. So if there's any questions I can possibly answer, I'll be real happy to.
Can you read this out loud, Moni? All right, let me read it out loud.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hill and Ms. Vernon, as you are aware, since the last scheduled update, when we were asked to revise the final schedule to meet the July 31st date, there were 3 weeks of rain events that prevented any work from taking place during that time. To help make up for that time, we were permitted to enter phase 6 and set our barricades, began demo and milling while the concrete was being complete on the previous block from Crest to James Lavelle. This allowed us to gain back significant time by being able to perform multiple activities at once to keep driving the project forward. As of tomorrow, July 24th, we will have 90% of phase six complete up to the bridge. The only thing that will remain is sodding. We will also have the demolition complete from the bridge to Ackerman. We plan on performing the curb placements to complete curb in phase six next week, as well as work on the commercial driveways. We will be placing type D asphalt next Thursday, July 30th, to complete all type D asphalt up to Ackerman at that time. This includes the 10-foot returns at Crest and James Lavelle that were not placed at the last pave. We anticipate the driveway work complete the 31st, that's of July. In order for us to continue to drive the project to completion, it is imperative that we are able to bring our additional street excavation crew and are allowed access to phase seven in order to set barricades and place the traffic barriers to begin demolition on half the roadway while we are completing the remaining activities in phase six. We pray you take into consideration the progress we were able to make once we were allowed access to more activities to drive the project. Also to consider is the crew that would be mobilizing and performing the street excavation are totally separate from the current concrete crews, milling crew, and trucking operation. Please also consider that as of tomorrow, that's July 24th, over half of phase six will be complete with the exception of sod. The project would continue to flow at the fast pace it has the last month. It would allow us to have type D asphalt complete up to Ackerman by July 31st and have us on target to completion of phase seven by the last week of August. We pray you consider, if not for the rain events after the deadline was set and we ramped up productivity and the crews, we would have been on target to have this project complete by the July 31st deadline. We, it's capitalized, cannot control the elements. We are doing everything possible to get this project completed, and the current productivity speaks for itself, we hope. We cannot change the prior events on this project. We are exhausting every effort to complete this job as soon as possible while maintaining a quality product. We hope you consider the proposal to allow these concurrent activities to take place so that we may continue to ramp up crews and production to have this project complete very soon. Very is capitalized. We are almost there. We just need access to allow the remaining activities continue to flow. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. It is greatly appreciated. That is, it's actually not signed. It's just on their letterhead.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
All right, go ahead.
So we didn't see any rain during that time, but now that the rain's coming, how far back are they gonna be? Now that the rain's coming. We didn't see any rain of what they're talking about.
About 3 weeks, maybe 3 days.
You were lucky it was 3 days at that.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault, but that's what we wanna know. What 3 weeks? Did it rain?
I can only speculate, sir, that he's talking about since the beginning of the project.
That could be all to last year.
Yes, sir. I understand. I know that in the last 3 months they've had several days of rainouts where they have been unable to work because of the rain.
Well, it hasn't rained that hard for them not to do anything.
Let me just, speak to a couple of those things. So one, this contract does not call for any rain days at all. Actually, we're not obligated to give them any, but in the course of the 2 years, we have granted them 21 rain days. That is already built into the contract. That was one of our early on discussions when they came in and expressed concern about why they got behind. So we did go ahead and evaluate. Our engineer on that project looked at every single weather notice, and they actually requested like 56 or something like that. I agreed to the 21 because it was documented rain days, and they have since asked for more, and I have denied that request. I've told them we're not going to grant any more because we gave you those 3 weeks back and didn't have to. So we have been more than kind, I feel like.
And that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
It's fixing to rain. And they still can't get over there.
Yes, sir.
You know, that was my only concern with that.
Now, the only two additional delays that I'm able to say, you know, are because we had two cost overruns on driveways.
Right, right.
There's two that actually, they front Happiness, but on the back they had some driveway approaches that was not in the plans or the original agreement, but because they have been put there many years before and, you know, through permanent
work
at the
city, when I drove by
we are adding costs to go ahead and give them back their driveways. One of those homes does not even have a front drive approach, and the other one has a garage built in the back. So those did add a little bit of time and cost. But outside of that, you know, I don't really see a need for that many more additional days. Now, just to remind you, we all said 7/31 was going to be the deadline to complete the entire project. So we were talking about all the way to phase seven. We realize that is not going to happen. There is no way, shape, or form that they can work 24 hours for the next week and it's not going to happen. So where we are now is they are in the middle of phases five and six, five almost complete, six pretty much demoed, which ends at Ackerman. So this third page here is their plan of how they feel like they can complete that portion.
Right.
And in their kind letter where they use the word pray, they are hoping that or praying that we would allow them to move on to phase seven, which goes across Ackerman. And so we really are at a point where we need to make a decision as to how we want to handle this. We have a meeting tomorrow. They're going to do their regular walkthrough at 8:30. We are having a meeting at following that where TxDOT will be included, where we're going to sit down and talk about what are our financial risks related to this project. And just to go over options that we've discussed prior, back on February 14th of 2019, after we had a meeting with TxDOT, we talked about what were our options with this project. And at that time, they weren't working as diligently as they have been the last few weeks. So we had four options. The first one was to continue to put the contractor on notice to comply with the baseline schedule, rates, and dates. And that was through a 10-day notice. Every time they do something in default, write them a 10-day notice, give them things to complete in a reasonable time frame of 10 days. And then if they comply, you keep moving forward. If they don't, then you have reason to default. So we did that two, maybe three times after that, and it did cause them to move along. Option two was to pursue finding the contractor in default. So to find something in the contract that they have violated that would allow us to you know, pursue default through the bond or the surety company. Option three was to terminate the contract at the owner's convenience. So that meant we just decide we've had enough, we terminate the contract with the understanding that that defaults the funding from the Metropolitan Planning Organization grant. And remember, this is a $2.1 million project. And then option four was to terminate the contract for the contractor's convenience. That would be them saying they're tired of us and they're just going to terminate the contract and walk away, which we know that wasn't going to happen. At that time, our city attorney advised us that we should not even consider options three or four, which is for us to terminate or for them to terminate, that we should only consider options one and two, which we did. And as I already mentioned, we pursued option one a couple of times. So we are at a point now where 7/31 is upon us and we need to find out what do we do now. I am not comfortable saying let them go ahead and move on to phase seven because I envision that the intersection and the rest of that road would be torn up through the duration of the fiscal year, possibly the calendar year, and we cannot have that. We cannot carry this project over another fiscal year. I have already told them that multiple times. We get audited for the cost of federal funds, so it's a second audit on top of the one that we've been doing that cost the city additional money, and it is strain on the budget to be able to do that. Now, one of the things that I'm going to try to use as leverage tomorrow is that TxDOT put me on notice 2 weeks ago that the project is actually in default of qualifying for federal funding because A, they have not met their DBE subcontractor requirement that's in the contract for federal funds, and two, they have not fixed the ponding issue in phase four. They have been notified multiple times in writing about all of those things. So today, the general manager has sent me more correspondence than I've received from him in 2 years. I received this letter, the attachment schedule. I received a letter they sent to TxDOT asking for help with finding a new DBE. I received a spreadsheet where TxDOT gave them a bunch of DBEs to consider, and they even tracked that they contacted each one of them and all the reasons why those contractors are not able to assist them, whether it's COVID or they live far away and so forth. So they documented those. And then they had a DBE sub on the project who went out of business, which is why they're in this predicament. So they're actually requesting that TxDOT go back and count the work that contractor did during the time frame where they were in business toward their costs of approval for a DBE sub. So that is something I'll have to see if TxDOT will give them or not. And then they asked about replacing or fixing the ponding issue at the conclusion of the project so that they wouldn't stop what they're doing now so they could get to the end and then go back. Because I also notified them that since TxDOT put me on notice and said that we're in jeopardy of not qualifying for reimbursement, I was not going to pay them anymore, because every time we write them a check, it takes 30 days for us to get 80% of that back. We are 2 reimbursements behind right now. So it's a constant catch up. So, my thing is, if I don't want TxDOT to come back and say, because you're in default, we're not going to reimburse you. If we're going to be in default anyway, then they need to be held responsible for that as well. So again, we will go over what our options are tomorrow, but I need to know from council, are we at a point where we want to pursue canceling this, contract at the conclusion of phase 6, because I can see that they could get to the end of phase 6, but I do not see them getting to the end of phase 7 before the end of the fiscal year. And I'll get more details, about what position that puts the city in, but we just have to keep in mind that that could mean we would not have the funding to complete 7.
Well, are we going to go into a negative factor if we did that and stopped where we are? Would we go into a negative figure against us?
So that's the part that I have to find out. Does it go back and affect all prior portions of the grant? I'm not sure. That's the question, because it's one thing if it affects the small final phase 7, but it's another issue if it affects the prior phases that we've already received funding on.
And not having that information, I personally am not comfortable in even making a decision about that, because we don't know.
Right.
And since it started in 2012, the funding, and then to say that there isn't any more funding, and then we have a street that's torn up that we can't even fix, we can't repair it.
And also, we go back to the ponding situation. If we drop them at the end of 6, they're not going to come back and fix the little lake we have.
So, that's another question that I have to find out, because technically they're responsible for going back to all the punch list items and striping the street at the conclusion. But
I agree with you 110%, but that doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Right.
Without us taking some action, spending some more money on a lawsuit. I mean, we'd win, but that doesn't mean they're going to do it. Because I understand that they're going to form another company shortly, and they're going to abandon this company. Isn't that nice to know? Yeah.
Yeah, they're currently bonded, and it's my understanding that this is the last project that they will do under this
bonding DVD company.
They're going to be moving into a new business name. And I'm pretty sure that's because their reputation has been tarnished under their current business name. So,
well, I will tell you this, having experienced this council going to the bonding company on Kirby Drive, that's about like having a fork in its raining soup. It just doesn't work. That bonding company is worthless. It cost us $100,000. And they wanted to put the same sub back on it to take it over again. Yeah, so we've had this rodeo once. Don't want to have it again. But I don't even.
They definitely don't need to move into the next phase.
No,
they need to go ahead and finish what they got.
Yeah,
and then we'll see what happens from there.
One thing I'm thankful of, there's no residents that live on the other side there of Ben Zingelman. That's the only saving factor that I can see. I mean, with this is just to the point of total frustration.
Yeah, and the bad thing about it is, like city manager said, the other part may not get done for over a year.
Exactly. Oh, no, I agree.
Are they bound, though, to fix what they have right now?
In the prior phases?
I mean, if we say that, no, you cannot go to 7, are they bound to fix up to 6, up to the bridge right there?
Yes.
In its entirety?
Well, for the duration of the contract, yes, they would have
right.
to. But, I mean, post-contract, probably not.
Right, but I'm saying right now, if
they have to keep
if
working.
Our direction was no, you're not moving into 7. Are they still bound to fix up
yes.
to 6?
Yes, because actually the project was phased 1 at a time.
Right.
We just gave them permission to do 5 and 6 at the same time. You don't have to give them permission
right.
to go on until 1 is finished.
I just wasn't sure if they had to fix it.
Right. Yes, they.
Because
they have to
finish
that.
I understand what they're saying, but at the same time, they've also now they've also now at the entrances of Crest and leading at the Crest that leads to Kirby Drive, Happiness and Crown, they've got a huge rut there in addition to the part of Crest that goes towards Tom Stafford.
That's right.
So that intersection right there isn't even, it's not even at all, it's not complete.
Well, I'm always amazed how you can pave a road and leave out the intersection. And then
so,
come back.
I mean, right now, the traffic that's flowing on a street or towards that street off Crest to go across Ben Zingelman to go into Tom Stafford leading that way or even the other way to Crown, if you're not careful, you're going to bottom out there as well.
Correct.
Because it's a very large drop-off or a very large steep piece there. So... I'm not really sure why they went in that far anyway. But.
Well, either way, they don't need to move forward. They just need to finish.
Well, the logical thing, I think, is to stop at just get to Ackerman right now.
That's it. Get to Ackerman.
Just get us to Ackerman.
And that's the end of phase 6.
Yeah.
You're right.
Just right now, and then we can go forward from there. Because they're putting what people got to understand is they're putting our dollars, our refund dollars, in jeopardy. Because if they default or they go the wrong way, then we are, pardon my French, we're the ones that get screwed. Because we already put the money out. We have to front the money to only get 80% of it back. So we're fronting 100% on an 80% return that's not guaranteed. And if the guy just says, screw you, then we are. So we could just get us to Ackerman Road and get this guy gone. I mean... You talk about a bad marriage. Well, I mean, this is a gift from the get-go. This was a bad honeymoon sucked. But, I mean, this is even worse.
Well, once he completes that, he still has to go across the street and start.
Technically, right.
Yeah.
That would be phase 7.
Because, see, and that would be carrying it to the next fiscal year. That's what we're trying to avoid.
But if that's what we decide to not allow them, we've definitely got to do something with that intersection at Ackerman and Ben Zingelman that leads to... that because I know that Public Works has tried to put pothole covers over it, but again, since there's so much transient traffic going from 10 onto Ben Zingelman towards Foster, I mean, it's...
Right. And that phase also includes some sewer manhole relocation
yes.
that we negotiated with Saws, so they've been waiting, you know, to do their portion there. They're not going to do it until the street is under construction.
Right.
Well... I mean, but, you know, it seems to me, and I would bet you a nickel, that what they really want to do is come up on Ben Zingelman to Ackerman, skip over, start that phase, and not even mess with it, and do like they're doing now, and then come back and do the intersection.
Well, once before they requested, could they start at the park and come this way?
Yes,
remember,
exactly.
they wanted to do, they
right.
wanted to come like this on the project, and we said no.
All right, so... Do we need to actually give you that or just
Well, I mean,
tell
I didn't want any actual action, but I just kind of wanted to get a feel for, you know, where we are, and I want to make sure, you know, everybody understands that these are really the only options that we have at this point. You know, I know that The city, I feel like the city's done everything within our power up to this point to try to get this project moving. And of course, you know, there's still constant criticism about the street being torn up is not something we wanted to do. We did not want this project to go on this long. This money was approved in 2012. And so there,
that's 8 years.
It was 8 years ago. Yeah.
Before
I got here,
just making sure everybody had that math.
Stagnant for 2 years before I even got here. So, I mean, we have done what we can. But again, there are consequences for every action that we take. So, you know, we're just going to see tomorrow what our options are. I'll bring that back. I'll put that on next week's special meeting. So we'll know. And then we'll have to make some decisions at that point.
I'm for my personal opinion is that they shouldn't go any further.
Oh no, just
I've always thought that. I actually bit the bullet and had, you know, voted yes, let's go for those two phases, but I'm not comfortable going into that next one, especially not knowing the information that you don't know yet.
Well, as tie up as much as it you can and try to get at least a definite maybe that they could get us to Ackerman Road and then we'll decide from there.
Well, they're going to have to keep working to Ackerman Road. This letter is them asking, can they go on past?
Well, I know that. I got that. That's not happening.
Yeah, our answer to them tomorrow when they do the walkthrough can be no. Keep working on 5 and 6. And then we will revisit, you know, 7 once we have those answers.
Yeah, you know, show me what you got because it's really time.
And they did have a walkthrough with TxDOT, if you want to speak on that.
Yes.
Yeah, walkthrough with
TxDOT. Last Friday at the walkthrough with the engineer, myself, TxDOT, and San Antonio Constructors, we did walk through phases 6, phases 5, and we did annotate all the things that they were still shortcoming on, as well as we did speak to phase 4 with respect to the largest pond in front of, I'm going to want to go tell 5114. I'm sorry, I don't have that exact address in front of me right now.
5118 and 5114.
I thought it was 5114, but if you tell me it's 5118, I'll agree with that.
That's part of it.
Yes, sir.
My house.
Okay. Well,
that's why I know I get out and go swimming. I go worse, you know, on certain days.
My apologies, sir.
Not yours. Theirs.
So we did note all of those things. We annotated that there were still some meter boxes that had not been set yet in phases 5 as well as phases 4. There were at least one plumbing issue in phase 5 that they were expected to address during that walkthrough with TxDOT. TxDOT was also aware of some of the other phases 4 as well, the ponding and some of the street cracking as well.
Oh, thank you for the mailboxes.
So yes, also with that, if they stop at Ackerman, if we don't allow them to go any further, do they at that point go back and stripe? Because they weren't striping or doing any of those things until the job was complete.
Right.
So if they aren't allowed to, or if we decide to cease, will they be still responsible to go back and stripe?
I will ask that question as well.
Because, I mean, clearly the street needs to be striped. And if that's not part of it, I mean, I just don't see how that's not. Because, again, we allowed them not to do that. Even though they were supposed to do that, we allowed them not to do that so that they could continue trying to fix the street.
How long it would take to run that stripe and buttons? About half a day.
Less than
my brother-in-law does it.
Less than that.
So, I mean, that's something that I think they need to do as well. And I'm not convinced that the at the start of the phase that there's not ponding issues there that were never addressed. Because when it rains, and it wasn't 3 weeks of rain, but any rain, considerable rainfall there, in that first phase even, there's ponding that used to not be there.
Yeah, they did. I mean, TxDOT signed off on 1 through 3.
Right. So I understand they did, but again, there was ponding that, you know, there was also a sign off on all of the project that they did before that with the sewers, the sewage mains, and obviously that was shoddy work as well that never got repaired, and the streets that were that it affected that were actually decent streets are now crippled as well. So I'm not confident with them moving anywhere else.
We've never had from the engineer or anybody from TxDOT come back with any kind of core testing. And there's also a test that they run is called a Hamburg wheel test. And that tells you the grading and everything else that you've got to have on those roads. And that's per TxDOT's own guidelines and rules that they've set forth. And it's common spelling Hamburg wheel test. Like I said, the core samples are the, we've never heard from the engineer on them. And is anybody ever checking the hot mix? Because they keep bringing up this type D asphalt. I went back in and was researching that up a little bit.
That's the consistency of oil and stone.
Yeah, and that one, when they have to turn in their quantities, and Mark does have to go out and inspect those before they are able to put them into the project.
Yeah, because he's got to test the pumps, the oil textures and everything else, too. But that also means that it's an inch and a half. That also means it has to be greater than an inch and a half on that asphalt being laid down. And that's why I said, have we had any core testing done?
Michael, do you know if they've core tested anything as far as the asphalt's concerned?
I have not seen core testing. I have seen a sampling company. I believe the name of it is Arius.
Yes.
They have been.
They were actually out there today then, because they were at Buzz Aldrin.
They do the density.
They go out and do the geotechnical testing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'll find out if that includes some.
But I did see, I actually saw that vehicle at Buzz Aldrin and Ben Zingelman today.
So they, I do know that they are doing some of the tests now. Whether they've actually performed the Hamburg wheel test or not, that I cannot speak to, because I have not actually seen them accomplish that test.
All right, do you have enough information, Monique, to go on as far as a general consensus?
Yes.
All right. And that, you said that will be back on our July 30th meeting? Right, does anybody else have anything to add? Questions? Do you have anything else to add?
I don't think God's gonna help them.
No, ma'am.
No.
Really?
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
I do know that there are still traffic concerns that way, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
you. I said I do know that there are traffic concerns, or the lack thereof, their traffic control there as well.
Yes, ma'am. I have spoken to the contractor a few times regarding that, ma'am. You all also brought up the painting on one of their pieces of equipment, some of the graffiti.
Right.
I addressed that as well. And to the best of my knowledge, you have seen the track hole. It's now been spray painted yellow so that the graffiti's gone.
Yeah.
And like I say, we have spoken several times regarding signage as well as possible ground guides to guide the people in and out. Flaggers. So they have been addressed. If you would like me to, I will address it again Friday during our walkthrough.
I just think we just need to reiterate it. So however you want to address it that way. We also need to keep their 18-wheelers off of those streets, especially Tom Stafford.
Yes, ma'am. I have addressed that as well. The engineer, Mark, and I have spoken about that, and we have brought it up to the contractor on at least three occasions that I can recall.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we will move to item E, discussion and possible action on appointing up to four alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission.
Put up in the seat.
Yeah. We're going to go back to it. We're going to go through and we're going to go back to it.
You just changed it over there.
All right. E, discussion and possible action on appointing up to four alternate members to the Buildings and Standards Commission. There are currently four alternate vacancies. I do not have any application. Do you have any, Patty?
No.
All right. If anybody's interested in serving on that commission, you may turn in an application for appointment. Item F, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Kirby Senior Center Board. Norma?
No, I don't have
All right, there is currently one vacancy. There are no applications in front of us nor with our center manager, Norma, but if you are interested on serving on that board, please contact the senior center. Item G, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Economic Development Committee. We currently have one vacancy. I don't have any applications. All right, if anybody is interested on serving on that committee, please turn in an application for consideration of appointment. And are they still meeting regularly?
They have been meeting on third Mondays. There was no meeting this month, though.
Okay. All right, item H, update, discussion, and possible action on Springfield Road properties. Possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, a consultation with attorney. Do you want us to go into executive session? Do we need to, or?
It's up to you all. Do you have any questions?
Yes, okay. All right, I will adjourn the meeting at 8:11 to go into executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. Executive session ended at 8:32. There was no action taken. I will reconvene our regular meeting at 8:40. Item 9H, discussion and possible action. Update, discussion and possible action on Springfield Road properties. That's it, properties. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that the city of Kirby take legal action to enforce the city ordinances and plat requirements for the Springfield Industrial Park.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, for the city of Kirby to take legal action on the Springfield Industrial Park. For plat and enforce the plat and the ordinances.
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce.
Yes. All right, we will move to 9I, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2020-723, a resolution of the city of Kirby, Texas, calling a general special election on November 3rd, 2020, for the purpose of electing 3 council members for 2-year terms and 1 council member for a 1-year term to complete an unexpired term on the city council, designating the polling places, designating voting system, and directing the giving of notice of such election and providing details relating to the holding of such election. Pursuant to Section 418.06 of the Texas Government Code, Governor Abbott issued a proclamation suspending the May 2nd, 2020 uniform election date to November 3rd uniform election date. On April 23rd, 2020, Council approved resolution number R-2020-717, postponing the May 2nd, 2020 election to November 3rd, 2020. The resolution. Yes, okay.
I'm sorry, I forget she can't read my lips with the mask on, but I was just wanting to tell her.
Really?
We had to update the language just relating to polling places because of how the elections are now as far as voting locations. So, yeah.
Okay.
So if you'll just read that caption.
All right. All right, so I will amend this reading of the resolution. A resolution of the City of Kirby, Texas, calling a general special election on November 3rd, 2020, for the purpose of electing three council members for two-year terms and one council member for a one-year term to complete an unexpired term on the City Council, designating the polling places, designating voting system, and directing the giving of notice of such election and providing details relating to the holding of such election. I will entertain a motion.
To all of that?
To the resolution.
To the resolution.
And what is the number? I don't have my thing on.
2020-17?
All right, I make a motion to accept resolution R-2020-723.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant. Seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept resolution number R-2020-723, a resolution of the City of Kirby, Texas, calling a general special election on November 3rd, 2020, for the purpose of electing three council members for two-year terms and one council member for a one-year term to complete an unexpired term on the City Council, designating the polling places, designating voting system, and directing the giving of notice of such election and providing details relating to the holding of such election. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes. Resolution R-2020-723 passes. All right, at this time we will go back to 9C, discussion and possible action on Crime Control Prevention District fiscal year 2020-2021 budget.
Mayor and Council, earlier in the meeting at 7 o'clock, I gave you two sheets. One of them said proposed budget and the other one said amended budget. It was two different sheets. So the resident brought to attention that he showed it would be a $5,000 deficit. What happened is now the sheet that I gave you had the amended budget and the proposed budget all on one sheet. So you will see that the bottom line numbers from the amended budget that's on the sheet now is carried over to the proposed budget, and you will see your bottom line figures with the two capital outlays that they're requesting. Again, the $45,000 is for the vehicle equipment, and with that, and then the training simulator is $17,000. So I apologize, that was my fault. I gave the wrong sheet to the city manager, and so that's why the resident got the incorrect one.
Chief, do you have any comments? Did you want to say anything?
I guess one thing I'd like to address is there was a comment made earlier that about committing to the equipment before we had a knew whether or not we would commit to the vehicles. If that is the situation, if you guys do approve the budget tonight and that money is allocated for the equipment, if for whatever reason Council cannot approve the purchase of both of the vehicles, or maybe they purchase one vehicle, or we don't purchase any vehicles at all, then obviously we would not spend that money on the equipment. That equipment would have no purpose without the vehicles. So that money would just remain in the general fund, and much like we did this year, as we get close to the end of the fiscal budget, if we have an equipment malfunction or some unforeseen expense comes up, then we would go back to the board
for an amended budget and reallocate that money for another project, which again, the amended budget would come to y'all for approval. So this is the one thing I wanted to make sure that everybody understood. I'm not gonna go out and buy $45,000 worth of police equipment to just put on the shelf without vehicles to go with it.
It's amazing when you have people that understand the system.
And let me just add, if there is anyone who would like a copy of that, we're, you know, if council does not mind, since we already had the public hearing, we didn't have this copy, we're happy to provide those copies and you know, be up to the mayor to decide if you want to allow additional public input on that.
That's fine.
Before you vote.
Anybody get one out here who would like one? Gina, can you provide those?
I'll just give everybody a second to review it to make sure that if anybody has any comments, they can come back up.
Don't you be doodling.
Part of our agenda is not.
Yes, but she just said that we didn't.
Here we go.
Just to let y'all know the discrepancy, I can see the discrepancy with the starting budget. Oh, okay.
Funniest thing, it balances, Roger.
What?
It balances.
Well, I know, but I would just ask that this information, like I said, I got this information today, and it may have been a mistake, but it's the same information that's on the website. When an amendment is made, if it can be updated in a prompt fashion so that the residents can get an accurate reflection, it would really be appreciated. Thank you.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept.
I second it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. She apologized for the mistake, but he still complained.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Salazar, to accept the Crime Control Prevention District fiscal year 2020-2021 budget.
There you go.
Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Oh, yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Grant?
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Avanaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, and we heard from our chief that if those vehicles are not approved for any reason, that the item would not be used to buy equipment.
There you go.
All right, we will move to, let me make sure everything's there. All right.
You got it all.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. Item 10A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Grant, do you have anything for future council agendas or city events or community interests?
This is just a thought. If school doesn't start, if it's set back or however, why don't we see if we keep the pool open? Because there's nothing else out here, and I know there's a lot of cabin fever. And it's maybe if we can, I don't know if we can or not, if it's possible.
So I will tell you, the pool company actually contacted me to ask if we wanted to do that, to extend it a couple of weeks. And I had actually told them no, because it goes to weekends only. We're already on the schedule. We stay open through Labor Day, weekends only.
Okay.
Because if we keep those weekdays open, then we would have to, that's an additional expense.
Okay.
And remember, we already used our, we saved some days because the pool opened late, and we pushed those to use already, and then got some refunds. So, I mean, we could but we would have to budget to pay them.
Yeah, I just thought maybe, you know, with the fact
that maybe we can ask Judson to help us with that too. That school's contacted you. I mean, you know, they're asking you already.
No, it was just a thought, okay? You know, well, I just get a little excited and a little bit frustrated after a while. We live in a pretty decent little city, and I know a lot of people here, and a lot of people know me, and I'm labeled as hard-headed and stubborn and been here too damn long. I get all that. But it doesn't impress me. What also doesn't impress me is when someone doesn't know how the system works. If you're going to make a comment, if you're going to speak on something, understand what you're talking about. And running and changing things and sitting here and consoling us on the fact that we doodle, well, that's how people think in different manners and different ways. But the main thing is this, if you're going to speak on something, as Roger does, I do not, we don't agree, but I respect him because he does know what he's talking about. But when you get up here and you make comments and you don't know how the system works and you calmly make an ass out of yourself, too bad. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Salazar.
No, a whole lot more than what I was going to say, but with what Mike's saying, you know, the young lady apologized about the information, but yet you still, they still want to jump her.
Wow.
That's all I got to say.
Councilmember Lehman, do you have anything?
Not really. I would like to see if there is any way possible for us to clear the audio that we've got going on with this speakerphone. Because when everybody else is talking way away, they're talking into their mic, and then that mic relays back to the telephone thing here, and everything is distorted. I really don't hear what everybody else is saying. So that's something that I would like to see if I could get worked out between you and Monique for the next meeting. Other than that, thank y'all for putting up with me. I've got a hard life ahead of me right now, but I'm here in heart and spirit, and I thank everybody for being here. Thank you.
Get better.
Thanks, Jerry.
Only the people that care to clap.
You okay? You all right?
I'd just like to say that I'd like to tell all the city employees and the department heads, thank you very much for all your hard work. I know that COVID has added more stress to everybody's job, and I see that the city's still working like a well-oiled machine. So I'd just like to say thank you to everyone. And that's all.
Lisa.
All right, thank you everybody for being here. And as I've always, Councilmember Pierce.
I know he's your husband, but you got one.
Sorry,
more.
He handed me a napkin, so sorry.
John, you're a good person.
Fine, John.
No, sorry. Thank you everybody for being here this evening, and thank you for everybody who interacts and speaks up, although not everything that is mentioned is accurate. There's a lot of perception, and I understand that perception, but sometimes your perception is not accurate. I can attest that it's not doodling, it's actually thought and actually keywords, because for many of us, especially myself as well, this doesn't end. The council meeting doesn't end my preparation. The council meeting doesn't end my thought. I don't stop thinking about what happened today. There are several residents that I interact with, you know, at least maybe on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis on things that are happening to them. So when I'm writing down stuff, it's keywords just to remind me what else I need to look at. So doodling and not paying attention is not something that necessarily happens. So I just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to thank all the volunteers, actually all the volunteers in general, but especially the ones that were there on Saturday to paint a fence. And again, social media never fails. You can do something really wonderful and there's always going to be negative comments. And that's just disheartening to me, but that's okay. That's just part of doing what everybody does. You know, those volunteers didn't have to be there. They were there because they chose to be there. And so I just want to thank them. There's a couple of them that were there that are actually in this room tonight in the audience as well. So again, thank you. I did want to make a clarification for a comment about amended budget for the $10,000 water budget. The fence was actually at our public works yard and not a fence around the water tower. Monique, do you want to, I mean, you can specify exactly what the fence repair was for.
So actually it was in this year's original budget was to do some repairs and upgrades at the public works yard fence. And that included adding some fence, that included putting in privacy slats around the fence, and that also included installing the electrical for the automated gates and keypad control entry for the public works yard. And so when doing that project, we got to a point where there were some areas of damaged fence that were leaning, needed to be repaired. It was not something that could have been repaired internally, otherwise we would have done that. So we were already working with this company, so they gave us the additional cost, and we asked to add that $10,000 to finish out that project. So that's what that amendment was for, at the yard, not the water tower, to clarify that. And even to speak to our city attorney reviews every one of our agendas and every one of our rationales for if we're going to dispense of a reading of an item. So that was cleared through the city attorney. It was for some immediate expenses that needed to take place before the next council meeting. So that is why we dispense of the second reading.
All right, and also I'm hoping that we can get resolution on those different subjects as far as Benzingelman is concerned and Springfield. And I would like to please stay on top of the Ackerman Road issue, just because there have been things that were raised this week that you and I've discussed. So if we can just make sure that we have that information. And if it is something that we can legally talk about in open, I would like to put it on an agenda. If it's something that we have to go into executive session about, I would prefer not to have it on the agenda, because I just think it's important if it's something that we can talk about, that especially Anthony here, you know, to hear what it is, rather than us having to use executive session. So if it's something that we can put on, I would like it to be on the agenda for August, the first meeting in August. Unless it's going to impede those permits, and if so, then if we can do July 30th. And if we do have information that we can pass on, if we can please do that to those residents on Landis. All right, again, thank you everyone for being here. Be safe, and I will adjourn this meeting.